Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I am Evangelist Tanita, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. And we want to welcome you to this Saturday morning broadcast. Today is December 31st, 2022. We will continue our new series, Understanding the Art of Prayer. And just so that you all will be prepared, we will be coming and studying out of the book of Matthew chapter 18, dealing with verse 20, but we will also reference back to 15. And our theme today will be the power of prayer and delegated authority that Yah gives. Rabbi John?
Amen and amen. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we submit to, we desire, we cling to that delegated authority that you give. Father, we ask that we be in your perfect will in the show and that you have the preeminence. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. And we choose, we make a quality decision, Father, to forgive those who have sinned against us, cause iniquity and transgression against us. We don't hold it to their charge, knowing that you will not hold ours to our charge. We glorify your name. We want to hear from you. We want to understand your Torah. We want to live according to your precepts, according to your statutes, according to your guidelines, Father, for us. In the precious name of Yahshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tanita, I am extremely excited because we're going to be dealing with a lifelong misconception pertaining to this particular passage that you were sharing and that you're getting ready to read, and that's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. We need to understand what this is actually saying, so that as we are praying and as we are stepping into the delegated authority that God has, that we always, the bullseye, each and every day, God wants us to hit the bullseye. Each and every day, he wants us to be able to achieve and receive the new mercies. The new mercies are laid up every day so that each day is sufficient for us to walk perfectly in his perfect will. That's what each day is designed. That's how he designed it. But we have to understand some of the guidelines. We got to understand some of the precepts, some of the boundaries that we need to stay within. We need to make sure that we're doing that we're understanding that, and that we're living it. Because as we begin to live it, the Father begins to live in us. He wants to live in us, but he's not going to live in sin.
Right.
He's not going to live in iniquity.
Amen.
He's definitely not going to live in transgression. If he steps into transgression, he steps into our iniquity. If he steps into our sin, we die the death.
Yeah.
We're destroyed. We are destroyed. So we need to understand this. So that destruction never falls upon us, but always falls upon our enemies. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, both in the Amplified and in the King James. Evangelist Smith is ready. She's ready to read it. She's ready to just begin to impart this to you, because her parsha, the one that she was born with, into this world is Devarim. Devarim means she has the anointing of speaking the words of God. So let's hear what the words of God are going to say. And let's break it down so that we can understand exactly what the guidelines are, what the precepts are, how we're supposed to walk this thing out. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, Amplified and King James. Go ahead.
Yes. Amen, Rabbi. So I will start with Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the King James Version. And it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And the Amplified reads, again, that is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them."
So the Lord says, I step into that. Step in to that. Yeshua used to say it like this. He'd say, my words bear witness, but the Lord bears witness with me as well. When my words line up with God's words, then God can bear witness by his Spirit to what I'm saying or what I'm doing.
Amen.
It was a situation that happened, Evangelist Tanita. It was horrific. It was terrible. It was just catastrophic. Buffalo, New York had a blizzard. The blizzard started off the first aspect of the blizzard started off at about 49 inches. Now, 49 inches is 4 feet, 1 inch. Okay.
Wow.
So that's about as tall as your car door.
Mm-hmm.
So you got snow is about as tall as your car door normally. Then it escalated to 90-something inches, almost 96 inches. 96 inches is 8 feet tall.
That's right.
Most people, I can't say everybody, but most people are anywhere at the height. I mean, a basketball team, what, maybe 7 foot, maybe 7'2", 7'3", 4". At the height, this was 8 foot tall. They had vehicles on the side of the road, not just stalled, but the drivers were dead all over the place. Dead. Could not get heat anywhere and froze to death.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, my wonderful wife went into the bathroom. Sorry about the TMI. Went into the bathroom. And she was the only one in the stall, and the attendants that come and clean the bathroom didn't know it. They were talking about this very situation, Evangelist Anita, and one of them was saying, oh, it's so terrible. It's so terrible that this happened, seeking the mercy of God. And the other one came in, two attendants that worked there, and said, yeah, it's terrible, but why were those people on the road when they knew the blizzard was coming?
Amen.
It's not the blizzard's fault. It's not God's fault.
Nope.
Because that blizzard was in God's permissive will. Apparently, those individuals, for one reason or another, didn't think it was important to find out what God says about the blizzard.
Mm.
Now, how does that interrelate to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, when you come together, you're coming together in prayer, in fellowship, in communication, for one main thing and one main thing only. You're not just coming together for yourselves. You're coming mm-hmm. together to get and to receive the mind and the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God willingly wants to give his mind to everyone. He wants you to know his agenda.
Yes.
People in the world don't always want you to know their agenda because they want the leverage. God doesn't
mm-hmm.
need leverage. He's God.
Amen.
He doesn't need doors to hide behind. He's God. You can't, I can't, we can't hide behind any doors with God.
That's right.
David said, if I made my bed in hell, you are there.
Yeah.
So if you're there, you know everything.
So
in this particular passage, I get before him in prayer, I want to know what he knows about what I need to know. If I live in Buffalo, I think a blizzard is important for me to know.
Amen.
Whether I need to go down the road and get a loaf of bread at that particular time, I need to know. We've got, I've got a relative by marriage that lives in Colorado. And Colorado had recently, within about a couple of weeks from this particular broadcast, had wind chill factor of negative 50 degrees. Now, I was told that a negative, not positive, but negative 50 degrees, you can only live 5 minutes before you begin to die of frostbite. Forget the polar bear club. You can only live 5 minutes in that environment. They knew it was coming. So what they did, and what she did, was they went out and got their groceries and everything they needed to get prior to.
They knew it.
Because they knew that when they got in, they were staying in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. The Father says, I am in the midst to begin to share my heart with you. Not just my
mm-hmm.
mind, but my heart with you. Now let's start at verse 15 and go ahead and read the full scope of this. 15 to 20, we're going to read the full scope of what this particular paragraph is referring to, both in the King James and in the Amplified. Go ahead, Evangelist.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 15, and this is the King James Version. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. He will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now I will read.
Okay, let's stop. Let's stop there for. Okay. No, let's stop there for just a second and break that down.
Okay.
Now, we have gotten accustomed to pulling scriptures out of context, which is so wrong. Verse 20 is a part of, or the sum of, what happens in verse 18. Because in verse 18:18, we are told that we have what some people would call the anointing loosing and binding, or binding and loosing. What we need to understand is there is a process in order to get there. If I have an ought against someone, I don't go to that someone with the ought, but I bring somebody else with me. And that someone else who's with me is a conspirator with me against the other person. Not only have I went out of God's protocol, I'm stacking the deck and keep taking God completely out of the picture. I'm taking God out because I'm not examining my own self. The one-on-one is so that in me sharing what I see, I also need to hear what you see. If I say, no, it's green and purple, and you say, no, it's purple and green, we need to discuss it so that I can see what you're seeing, or at least attempt to see it. And in like manner, you would attempt to try to figure out where I'm coming from and the vantage point that I have. If that doesn't work, then you bring someone else in. If it gets to the point of contention, then you bring someone else in. Then if that doesn't work, then, as the scriptures say, you have the right to bring it before the church. You also have the right at that particular point to begin the binding and loosing. Now, that binding and loosing, and this is where we miss it a lot. We totally miss what God has spoken. Because we say, okay, now that I followed this protocol, I can bind and loose this person, and God in heaven will honor that. That's not what this is saying. It was translated wrong and it was interpreted wrong. What it's saying is that I'm in agreement with already is in heaven. In other words, if God has given an Esau over to a reprobated mind, then I have, because I've heard God say it to me to say to Esau, you've been given over to a reprobated mind. That is a bind and a loose. That person has been bound by God and has been loosed from the sheepfold, loosed from the anointing that Yeshua has given. That's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. But that's what this is saying. God gives the delegated authority in prayer, in fasting, in seeking what his desires. If God said, hey, it's going to be a blizzard, and it's going to be a very bad blizzard. It will be about 8 feet deep. That's a lot of snow. That means the visibility is nil, as well as the fact that you're going to be stalled out. And if they drove by you, they wouldn't be able to see you anyway because the vehicles would be totally covered. The Father is saying, if this was already preordained in heaven, that's when the binding and loosing is permitted, the delegated authority is given on earth. Satan wanted to wreak havoc on Job, but Satan couldn't do it until God gave the permission in heaven. When God gave the permission in heaven, then Satan could go down to earth and touch the things that belong to Job, to include touching Job's health. But until then, no matter who came in agreement on earth and said, you know, we're going to bind and loose Job, we're going to allow catastrophe after catastrophe to hit him and his children and his wife and his cattle and all of that. Nothing happened. Job was always protected. His children were always protected. His relationship with God was protected. His relationship with his wife was protected. But Satan petitioned God for Job. And there were areas in Job that he had not gotten together and gotten reconciled with God. And God used that as a teaching lesson for Job. But it was preordained in heaven. It wasn't preordained on earth. So another aspect of what's important in prayer is understanding the delegated authority and who God is giving delegated authority to. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, 23 through 25. Daniel chapter 7. Chapter 7. I believe it's 23, 24, and 25. If you could read that for us, Evangelist Tanita.
Okay. Yes, I'm here. I have.
Okay.
I couldn't pull it up on my computer, but I have the New King James and the Amplified.
Okay, that'll work.
Okay.
New King James will work.
Okay. So, verse 23, Daniel chapter 7. It says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first one and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and shall intend to change time and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and time and half a time.
Will be given into his hands. In other words, the power to touch the saints, the power to control the saints, the power to persecute the saints will be given into his hand. People don't want to hear that. Evangelists,
amen.
They don't want to hear that in the last days.
That's right.
But that's God giving delegated authority to the Antichrist.
Yes.
He's given the delegated authority to the devil, who gives it to the Antichrist. Do you see that?
Yes.
In the same manner that it happened with Job. But it happened with Job because there was an opening. There was a place in Job where he was not fortifying and putting on the full armor of God.
Amen.
Part of prayer for us is putting on the whole armor of God. It's not running away from the fight.
Right.
And it's not fighting as soon as you see that the fight has begun.
Right.
Because Satan will use that. Knowing that you've been created for fight or flight, he will use them both against you and I.
Amen.
Whereas what's important for us is, first and foremost, to make sure that we have the full armor on. Now, if we don't have the full armor on, then we should not fight at all.
Amen.
Because the area where we don't have the full armor is the area where we will run into a Job experience, no matter who we are. Learn how to just continue to run, then we will come to a place of cowardliness so strong that we will find ourselves totally renouncing our relationship with God and with Yeshua because of pain and suffering. When this already is saying that we are going to go through pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Now, if you're cowardice, you're not going through pain and suffering. Not just then. Hopefully this is helping us to understand. Prayer is to get on the same page, is to communicate with him and to understand, okay, where are the blizzards in my life?
Amen.
Where are the stopgaps? Where are the places where I need to not be there? Where are the places where I stepped out of homeostasis? I stepped out of homocomb. I stepped out of the veil of protection. I stepped out of the secret place of the Most High God. Where did
Amen.
I do that? Because wherever I did that, I want to get back into that protection. It says the saints will be out of that protection. It even tells you how it's going to happen. It says because Satan is going to change laws, not just the modern laws that we face today, but Satan is going to primarily change the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Torah is a part of our protection.
Amen.
So if he's changing that, that's like going to work, working a full-time job, working overtime as well, and you're going to go pick up your check. It's not electronically sent to you or any of that. It's the old, old-fashioned way. And you go pick up your check or you go to pick up your check on the wrong day. Well, if you go on the wrong day, they don't have it there for you. Now, you can whine, you can cry, you can tell them you got bills to pay, you can, you know, tell them all of these things. But they'll look at you and say, hey, in the agreement, we told you it was going to be on Friday. Today's not Friday. You know? You missed it. We have got to learn before it happens not to miss it. We've got to learn about the delegated authority of God and soaking ourselves in prayer to get on the right page so that we can have a communication with him so that he could give us not just his head, but give us his heart about all situations, not just one or two, but all. He wants to talk to us, talk to me, talk to you about everything that concerns you. And then as he builds as he builds, Evangelist Tanita, as he builds trust in you, he'll tell you about things that don't even concern you.
That's true. Amen.
But it's because he trusts you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you built a relationship to where he can trust you with it. This is about. That's what that passage is really about. So that means each and every day I need to make sure I steal away time and get before him and find out, okay, it's a new day. And it has new temptations, and it has new mercies. I don't need to just know the new mercies. I need to know the temptations as well so that I don't walk into any of those. I need to know both. I need to be aware of both, because what that does is it lets me know what my limitations are, what my restrictions are, how far I need to go, and how far I don't need to go. That is so important. It is so, so important. We're talking about the power of the delegated authority of God. And most people don't realize that God gives his delegated authority not just to the children, but he will give it to Satan as well if the children don't do what the children are supposed to do. It's an indirect, but it's still given to him. It's still given to Satan. And in the book that we just read, in the chapter and the verse that we just read, that's letting us know that we're coming into that realm where Satan is going to take that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to challenge each and every one of us, spiritual walk in Torah. So I pray that as we conclude here, that we understand that the authority that God gives can and will, in this passage, be given to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us what is going to happen, how Satan's going to get it. But he's also telling us why. So we need to begin to, I need to begin to, all of us need to begin to embrace Torah like we never embraced it before. We need to totally be in that, in Torah as much as we are in Yeshua. Equally so. And that's hard for some people to grasp because they're thinking it's either one or the other. It's either Torah, Old Testament, or Yeshua, New Testament. No, 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 no. It's both. It was both in the Old Testament and even more so now in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Christ was the incarnate Christ. The three Hebrew boys were there with the incarnate Christ in the fiery furnace.
Amen.
So when we go into our fiery furnace, we have Yeshua. We have the blood of Yeshua that's on the cross, Spirit of the living God with us. We call upon his name, applying his blood to our circumstance, to our situation, as we learn to walk circumspect in Torah. I'm going to pass it to you, Evangelist Tanita, to share your thoughts and to explain to those that may be new how they can get information from us. Go ahead.
Amen. I like the way you tied in the old and the new and how important it is, because on the last session of the Art of Prayer, we did talk about the Hebrew boys and how they did not compromise. And they were willing, whether God saved them or not, they knew and made it very clear to the king that they would not bow their knee. And it's important for us, because we have Yahushua, who is our example, and he's taught us, and like you said, standing in the shadow, you know, at the altar, Psalms 91, you know, in that place where we're speaking to the Father, Yeshua has been our example. And when we come up on the season where it's already shown, like you said in verse 25, it says, and he being the Antichrist, speak words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the time of the sacred feasts and holy days and the law, and the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, two times, and a half a time, which is comes out to 3.5 years. As we're having that relationship, that personal relationship with the Heavenly Father, it won't matter what the Antichrist is doing, because like you're saying, in prayer, we will already be seeking him personally, but he will prepare us for everything that's going to take place so that we won't be fooled, hoodwinked, so that the enemy can't do anything to disrupt us. As you're saying, fight and flight. You know, we can lean too much to the fight side and too much to the flight side, flight or fight. And the key is knowing when to do either or, but in Yah, so that we won't miss his timing and we'll always have that protection. And so I'm thankful that as we're continuing to understand the art of prayer, the admiration, you know, the admiration, request, and thanksgiving, that we're able to be the saints who will have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to know what to do. In the name of Yahushua. And so, Rabbi, as you stated, for those that want to know how to more information about us, if this is your first time listening to Understanding the Art of Prayer, we would like to welcome and thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening live or via our podcast, glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's word and to discern the signs of the times. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, our website is at www.bethhashem.org. That is BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook, and that is at www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you are hungry for more and desire a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college is Zaka University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And that is at courses.bethhashem.org. Finally, tithes and offerings can be made via Cash App. And that website is http://www.cashapp.com/$BETHEM. Or you can mail it to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we say thank you. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahshua, we just feel these words. We feel the understanding and the comprehension of these words so that each and every person will begin to walk in the fullness of your word, the fullness of your daily inspiration that you give each and every person who desires to hear, who desires to listen, and who desires to obey. Let us be that one that obeys, that listens, and that understands what we're listening to, so that you will be pleased with us in these last days. Prepare us and strengthen us and keep us in these last days, because it will try to wear the saints out. We already know that. You've already shared it, but we're having to live through what we know. And we're asking your help in helping us to overcome. In the precious name of Yahushua, we pray. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.